My dear friends, it is wonderful to be gathered again in the house of the Lord. This is an incredible thing, you know, that we get to be here every week. I think sometimes when we are blessed consistently, sometimes we stop seeing it, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, we always have food on the table and we forget that that is a blessing. And in this case, we get to be in the house of God, to be in his presence and to hear his word, to be instructed from his very mouth. And, you know, it becomes humdrum. But guys, take a minute this morning and just think of this. We have been welcomed by the creator of the universe, the one who died for us to make it so that we could be saved and spend eternity with him. He loved us so much, he would do anything to make it so that we could be with him in heaven forever. And he died to make it happen. And he rose again. He lives and he is with us constantly. We have the Spirit of God living within us, the gift given to us in baptism by faith. And folks, it is an incredible thing to be a person in the house of God. And so let us this morning begin our worship service remembering the day that God brought us into his family through the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, open our eyes that we might see you all around us. Open our ears to hear your word. Open our mouths to sing your praises. And guide us this day. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
There is one grace. Well, it is well. Good morning. I am not Steve Mangrum, who is listed as the elder for today. I am Kevin Chegg, one of your former elders, elder emeritus, however you want to say that. Anyway, it is my privilege to read the scripture, the first scripture reading for this morning, which is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Anyone who has been stealing must no longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were to first not only to give, but also to have a desire to do so. Now finish that work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning. All right, guys, I could use a brave volunteer. Could someone be a volunteer for me? Yes. Pastor Josh, I was relying on your kids this whole time. I knew they'd be the ones. All right, can you sit right here for me? Amazing. So, we just listened to a pastor reading the Bible, and I don't know if you heard what he said, but it was talking about sharing. Do you guys like sharing?
Yeah.
Sometimes? I struggle with it sometimes, because when I have things, and they're really nice, I like to keep them. So I thought right now would be a really good time to practice sharing. So that's what you're here to help me do, to help me share, okay? All right, so I brought all these toys, which I promptly took from my daughter. So we're struggling there already. But they're really fun, and I want to share them with you. So I've got this really cool tambourine. It makes lots of noise. It's awesome. Then I've got this car here. You can, like, pull it, and there's people in there that usually bounce up and down, but I lost that. Oh, no, don't touch them yet. No, they're mine right now. Thank you. I also brought this car. It is so cool. It'll, like, go backwards and then forward, but that's mine right now. Don't touch that. Then I also have this dinosaur, and it also, like, goes in half, and then you can put it back together, and it's really cool, but it's going to go over here for now. And then we also have this one. It's the same thing. It's got a yellow friend, so I even have two of those. I even have this thing, And, like, you're meant to, like, put a little thing in there, and then, like, little blocks will fall, and then it'll come out at the end, and you can watch it. But that's mine for now, so don't touch that. And then I also have this car, and it's like a tractor, and I lost it right now, but it has, like, a little wagon it can pull. It can, like, roll on its own a little bit, but don't touch that. That's mine for now. So I have all of these toys here, guys. Do these look like fun toys? I love these toys. I want to keep them. I want to play with them, but I need to work on sharing. So I also brought this other thing that I think I can share. This is a book. It's called Dirt, The Erosion of Civilization, and it's a history about dirt. I don't really like this book very much, so I thought I could take this, and I can keep all of my fun toys, and then I can share this book with you. It only gets better as... But dirt, do these toys look more fun? Here's the thing, guys. I have so many toys, and my friend right here doesn't have a lot of toys to play with. And I was willing to share the thing that I don't really want anyway, which is fine sometimes to share things that you don't want anymore. That's okay. But what God really wants us to do is if we have a lot of stuff, and the stuff that is still good, that we share that stuff, if we have a lot of it with others and not just only give away the things we definitely don't want anyway. I don't have to give away all of my toys for us to still have fun, like Pastor was saying, but would you like a couple of these? Which toys look like I can give you? Maybe this one and the tambourine. Which one caught your eye? The tambourine. Excellent. And she can have all of these toys, and I can still have all of these toys, and we can both still have fun. Does that make sense? I think this is what God really means when he says what we should be sharing. I'm actually going to keep these because they're my daughter's toys, and she'd be very sad. But thank you so much for volunteering. Thank you so much. Can you guys pray with me? All right. Dear God, please give us the right heart, Lord, when you want us to share. Please give us the right spirit, Lord, as we need to take care of others so that others can have the things they need while we are given so many blessings. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, now it's time for a little worship. So you guys can head, the kids can head to the cross in the middle aisle. Looks like they're getting ready to leave already. So the rest of us, let's open up scripture. Wow, there's a lot in this reading today, right? But where I really want you to begin is this. God loves to give. You understand this? I mean, understand where this began in the very, 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 very beginning. Before creation, God was complete in himself. Do you understand this? You know, some people think that maybe God created people because God was lonely. But he was not lonely. He lived within the Trinity. Three persons, one God. And he was complete in himself. He didn't need anything. But he created us. And not just us. He created a crazy universe. You ever wonder what the word universe come from? Right? Where did it come from? One word. That's what it means, universe. One word. It goes right back to the whole idea of creation. How did God create? He spoke. And in speaking, he brought all of this, everything that exists into being. Now, think a little bit when we talk about everything that exists. First of all, point to something God did not make. Think of something that you have that God is not responsible for giving you. I'm just saying, not just the physical objects that you possess, but also things like gravity that holds it all down so that it doesn't all float away. The very rules of the universe, the attraction of different particles and the way that everything reacts, not just the subatomic particles, but then the atoms and the way the atoms bond and the way that God uses all those atoms to make everything, even like a star. I mean, I was laughing. I'm like, how many atoms are in a star? Few? I mean, it's a number I can't even imagine, right? I mean, it's staggering to think about, and that God in the beginning created all of that. Everything that exists. And here's the thing. He did it for us. He created all of that stuff, and then he created a man and a woman to care for it, to live in it, to enjoy it. This is what God is. We talk about God being love, right? Well, what does love, how does love, that love express itself? It expresses itself in giving. He created the world that we live in. He created each and every one of us. Now stop and think about that for a second. What does it mean that God created you? Well, what are all the dimensions of you? Right? I mean, we think of your body, right? He created that. True, he did. Is that it? Well, no, he created your mind and your abilities and the your loves and the things that drive you nuts. You know what I mean? He created the passions and the creativity and the stubbornness, which is a gift, I will tell you, because well-directed stubbornness is a gift, is it not? I mean, who would create anything large or difficult if they weren't stubborn, right? And so the thing is that when God created you, what did he create? And just stop and think about all the blessings that he poured into you when he made you. And then he gave us each other. And he put us in this community where we can actually interact with each other and enjoy each other, stubbornly enjoy each other, right? Yeah, that has to fit in there too. But the thing is this, what God created when he created and all the gifts that he bestows upon us and then the world that he created, it's more than just the substance, it's more than just the rules that tie everything together. He created a world fertile with all kinds of incredible, interesting things to explore and to master and to use to make the world a better place. You know what I'm saying? I mean, who'd have thought silicone would be such a big deal, right? I mean, the world's got sand everywhere. It's always had sand everywhere. And now all of a sudden, silicone is what makes the world go round. Right? I mean, we can't drive cars without chips in them. Right? I mean, we can't. It's insane. I mean, the stuff that God put in the world just so that we would have the things that were needed so that we could live out the lives that our God gave us. And this was just the beginning. Because immediately after he puts us in this world, I mean, we don't exactly know how long later, but it didn't take very long. What did we do? Sin. We messed it up, right? And we threw a bunch of sand into the engine of the world, and all of a sudden we're wondering why there's storms and hurricanes and troubles and earthquakes and famines and sickness and cancer and all the stuff in the world. And we're like, well, where'd all that come from? Us. We're the ones that messed it up. And for messing it up, we deserve punishment. But the God who gives was not content to let us get what we deserved. And so the God who loves, and the expression of that love is his giving, he, Jesus, who had everything, him who was rich in all capital letters with underlining and boldface, right? I mean, rich in every way. There was nothing that he needed. He chose to be poor. He chose to have nothing. He chose to be vulnerable. He chose to be unpopular. He chose to say things to powerful people that would put him in jeopardy. He chose to teach us who the Father is, what the plan of salvation is, what it is that it means that our God loves us and wants to provide for us everything that we need, including forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life that we don't deserve. And he chose to sacrifice himself. He gave himself willingly. He died so that we can live. And then he rose again so that we would never die. How amazing is our God? That he expresses his love for us by endlessly giving. And then on Monday, Thursday, he looks at these disciples, these people who have been following him. And he, Monday, Thursday, you know where that command, the word comes from? Is Monday is actually come from the same root as mandate, commandment. So it's a commandment Thursday because on that, at that meal in the upper room, Jesus gave the disciples a new commandment. And the new commandment was pretty much the same as the old commandments, just so you know. But he was saying it a new way, and he said this. He said, look, I have loved you. Now, just a few words, right? I have loved you. It's not, how can you put so much content and meaning and substance in those tiny little words, right? I mean, those words contain everything that God has ever done for us. And if you sit down with a piece of paper and start writing your blessings, you better bring a lot of paper and you better have a lot of time because the list will never end. That's how much God loves you, right? He says, I have loved you. Now, as I have loved you, I want you to love each other. What does this mean? What does it mean that we are to love each other the way our God has loved us? Well, if we're supposed to love, I guess we're supposed to love the way God loved. I mean, that makes sense, right? It's kind of in the sentence, right? So how does God's love express itself to us? By giving. Right? Is it giving only when the other person is nice to you? How nice have people been to God? Has he ever stopped loving? Giving only when it's easy and doesn't cost me anything. Is that how Jesus loved? Okay. Loving only when somebody is working hard enough to deserve it. Right? Is that how God loves? When Jesus was here, who did he get in trouble with hanging out with? The tax collectors and the sinners. The people who weren't even trying very much, right? But who did Jesus come to save? The lost, right? So I'm like, we can't do that either. So what does it mean that we are supposed to love each other the way God loved us? It means that we are to give. How much? How much is okay? How much is enough? I mean, let's get down to brass tacks, Pastor. I just need to have a number. How much am I supposed to give, right? How much? I mean, what is it? 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%? What do you think? What's enough? What's enough? Tell me. How did God give to us? When Jesus is on the cross, what percentage? Here's the thing. People talked to, you know, they said, people were saying how they love Jesus. You know, we love you, Jesus. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I say. And then he says, I want you to love. So if you love Jesus, you're going to obey Jesus. And Jesus is telling you to love all the people around you, right? So when we give, who are we giving to? I mean, think about it. I mean, if you're coming to church and you put money in the offering plate, is it kind of like, okay, I'm giving to God, right? Because, you know, it's going to the church. It kind of makes sense, right? But wait a minute, what about this? What about if you see your neighbor in need? You know, just the person down the street. And what if God puts it on your heart to say, hey, listen, you have received, have you not? And they are in need. I want you to love like I have loved you. So you give to them, right? Who are you giving the money to? Or who are you giving your time to? Who are giving your help to? Who are you helping? The person or God? And the answer is both. And that's the way it's supposed to work. You understand this? Is that God puts us in this world. He puts us in this community. He puts us in this church so that we can love each other and not half-heartedly, because that's not the kind of love we received. Not careful measures, not minimalistic standard, not give me a number so that I can have this out of my head and I can focus on the other things that I want to do. Not like that at all. What we're talking about is a full, all-encompassing giving of ourselves. You know, I laugh, you know, because a lot of times people are like, well, the church is all about money. And I'm like, no, I really don't care about money at all. I just need, you know, something fixed. And we can fix it in several ways. You know, I need something done. It can be done in several ways. Either somebody can volunteer and come in and do it, or we can pay somebody to come in and do it. Either way, it's done, right? So do I want money? No. But God's work needs to be done, right? And so my thing is this, is that, you know, your job is an incredible invention. It's a crazy thing. It converts time into money. That's what it does, right? And then we can convert that money into time with somebody else, right? Or you can give your time, and that's good too. The point is that the money is not the point. The point is we, in a very real way, when we give our money towards something, especially in a sacrificial sense, we are giving of ourself, because you poured yourself into earning that money. And now you are giving of yourself to God's purposes. You understand? And I don't care how you give. If you volunteer your time to God and you do amazing things so that God's ministry can happen, praise the Lord. If you instead give money toward it and so that God's ministry can happen, praise the Lord. If you do the same with your neighbor, here's what I need you to understand, is that giving is not just on Sunday morning in the offering plate. Giving is in every facet of your life. You know what I mean? It's like Jesus talks about giving and, you know, talks about his provision and providing for us, like in the parent relationship, right? Well, how much do you give to your kids? Sometimes more than is good, right? I mean, we give liberally to our children because we love our children, right? Okay, well, then how about your parents? Do you take care of them? How about your neighbor? How about the family of God? I mean, you know, we talk about caring for our family, and in a very real sense, if we've all been baptized, we've all been adopted into the family of God, that makes all of us brothers and sisters. And the scripture clearly says, if you see a brother or sister in need and do nothing to help them, how can the love of God be in you? Because it's not just a small thing. This is what we're here for. We are here to love like God loved us. And if God gave us everything, then we also give whatever. And then people say, well, how am I going to make sure I have enough for me? And I'm like, it's a solid question. I mean, food's good, you know? Having a bed and a place that you can sleep and be dry and warm, it's kind of a big deal, you know? And not only that, but God did give you your family, and you are responsible to take care of your family and to make sure that they're cared for and tended and everything. It's a necessary thing. But think about it. If everything belongs to God and you care for your family, are you not doing God's work? Is that not the work that God gave you to do? But what we need to struggle with is where the line is on that. You know what I'm saying? At what point are we caring for our family and taking care of the body that God gave us? And at what point are we living in excess and using resources that God would rather you give to somebody in need? And this is convicting and difficult, is it not? But God says he wants us to give the way he gave to us. And Jesus gave to us sacrificially. It cost him. If we give an amount such that it does not affect our life, is that sacrificial? If we give an amount that does pinch, I now have to do without something else to make room for this. Is that sacrificial? So where are the lines on this? And the answer is this. It's between you and God. Okay? Now, when I say that, that is not flippant. When I say that, I'm saying this is something that you need to go before God with in prayer. And as you read scripture, you need to be listening to his voice. As you walk around the world and pray for the people around you, you need to be listening for his voice and asking yourself, where is it that God wants me to give? Does he want you to give in church? Yes, he does, because this is his ministry and this thing needs to happen, right? The electric bill needs to be paid. The teachers need their salaries. I mean, this is a place that needs to operate. This is our ministry that we are, God's ministry that we are, you know, working toward with him. And so this is a really big deal here. And so do we give? Yeah, we absolutely do. Is this one of the places that we give to God? Yeah. Is it the only place? No. Your family, your neighbors, your community, the world. There are many places to give. There are jobs that are really, really big. God said, take the gospel into the entire world. You do it by yourself. Go. Not going to happen, right? This is a job that we do as Christians together. So that means that we all need to contribute toward doing that. You understand? That some people will go and some people will help pay their salary while they're going and buy their airfare and help them have housing. I mean, we'll work together to do these large, large tasks. And then in the congregation, we'll work together to do our community tasks. And then in the family, we'll work together to do the family tasks. And then individually, you'll work to do the tasks that you are given to do with the abilities that God has given you. So how much is enough? Well, it depends what you mean by that. How much is enough to give the way God gave us? There is no enough. He gave more than we ever can. How much is enough to properly take our place in the kingdom and do the work that God has put in front of us and to make the most of every opportunity that God has put in front of us. It's one of those things you'll have to wrestle with God about. But do it. Wrestle. Don't just like put this out of your mind and say, well, you know what, I'm fine, or it's too hard to think about, I don't have time for that, I'm not going to worry about it. This is what we do, is we struggle with these questions so that we can respond to God and respond to his grace and his love that has been shown us and obediently love as he has loved us. So how have you done? Anybody feeling guilty today? And I got to tell you again, these sermons are hard. I mean, I'm preaching like, you know, I have to preach like I'm speaking for God because it's what I'm doing. But on the inside, this is tearing me up too. I mean, because there's so much I'm not doing. And it is a struggle for all of us. And I don't want you to leave here feeling guilty. That's not the point. The point is not to leave with guilt. The point is to leave with gratefulness. Because here is what God has provided you. Everything. Including the forgiveness. And the forgiveness is so important because we constantly are messing this stuff up. We constantly don't get it right. But his love, the love that we are supposed to model ourselves after, we fail, but he gets it right. And his mercy never ends. His forgiveness is solid. It is true. His grace is true even when we are false. Doesn't give us an excuse to be false, right? We want to struggle to be true because he is so true. We want to love as he loves, and we will always struggle with this. But struggle. Look for opportunities to serve. Leave this life. Make yourself poor so that others can be rich. You know what I'm saying? What is it worth if you save all your money, but somebody is in hell for it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what is the exchange rate for people, right? And so here's the thing. What can we do? What more can we do? How can we help? How can we contribute? How can we bring more glory to God by showing more people about his incredible love? How can we relieve the suffering in this world? The people that are, you know, the rivers rising again reminds us of stuff, right? It hadn't been that long ago and we were helping people on the river. We got the people in Guatemala. Because of my son Jesse, I know about the people in Romania and Kazakhstan and all these other places where ministers are in need. People don't have the resources necessary to do the work that needs to be done. There is so much to be done in this world. My friends, explore the world, see all the places God is serving, and get on board with something. Give. Love. As we have been loved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us tenacity. Give us open hearts, Lord, that are just ready to receive whatever it is that you have to say to us, Lord. I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, as we struggle with how to live openly giving and giving the way you give, loving the way you love. Help us, Lord, and have mercy on us when we fail. In your name we pray. Amen. You are not a God in me.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and delightfully provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. This I'd like to invite Carla Bomarito forward for our life talk.
Your St. Mark's Life Team was established to prepare people in our church, motivated by faith in Jesus Christ, to love and care for people from conception to the natural end of life. That's the wording of the Life Team's mission statement. We get the importance of affirming life from womb to tomb from our God. However, in our world culture, there are movements that work against the high value that God places on life. Abortion just happens to be one of those. Just to keep you informed, abortion is on the rise even in states like Missouri that have restrictions on abortion. This rise is due to the lax regulations on what one might call mail order abortion. This is because of the easy access to chemical abortion pills without any medical supervision. We ask that you please join us in prayer for this unhealthy situation for women. The second thing in our world that's on the rise, unfortunately, is suicide. There were nearly 50,000 suicides in America in 2023. That would be like one person taking their life every 11 minutes. Suicide is a topic that no one likes to talk about. We don't want to think that it could happen in our relationships. We don't want to think that somebody close to us might even consider being a candidate for suicide. But if we don't care enough to be concerned, others won't think it's okay to seek help. So let's care enough to be get informed so we can prevent suicide. This is a very personal topic for me, as some of you that know me, and I've spoken on this before, my oldest son took his own life. That was 30 years ago. If I could spare someone from going through the pain that I went through, I would do that. So we have put together an event that we would like you to join us and here at St. Mark's for Suicide Prevention Awareness. It's going to be held on Saturday, April the 18th from 9 to 11:30 out here in the church vestibule. We will learn the warning signs of who might be at risk, become more aware and enabled to reach out to those who might be struggling with suicidal thoughts. Our licensed counselor, Janine Liebman, will be leading this event, and she will help us become more aware of the suicide risk factors and the warning signs that can save the lives that God has created. We would like to ask you to register before April 13th. You can register online. You could call Jan. The information is up there on the screen. But we also have these flyers out on the Connection Center that has that same information on there. We will have sign-ups, but it won't be this week or next week because of book fair. But the following week, we will have Life Team members out in the church lobby for sign-ups for that. We ask for sign-ups just so that we know how many chairs to set up. We also invite you to pray with us for this suicide awareness event and for opportunities in your relationships to share with hurting people the wonderful promise that God has given us in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Please stand as we continue with the prayers of the day. Speak to us, Lord, by your Spirit, that we might see and know the opportunities that you give to us to show love to our neighbors. Help us to grow in our trust of you, that we might recognize all our needs are provided by you. In your abundant provision, help us to bless others with the excess that you have given us. Lord, we also pray this day the prayers of our people. We pray thanksgiving that Becky Sprick had a successful surgery and pray that you'd continue to help her recover. We pray for all those who are mourning the loss of Stan Schwing, especially his wife, Alice Schwing, the mother of Sherry Haas. Grant them comfort at this time of this temporary being apart. Lord, similarly, I pray that you'd be with all those who mourn the loss of Charles Brown, the uncle of Lewis Johnson. Especially we pray for his wife, Rosalind, his children, Dwayne, Kenneth, Christopher, Joseph, and their families. Grant them comfort. Help them to know that though this is short, that they will see Charles again. Lord, I pray that you be with the suicide awareness event that's going to be taking place at St. Mark's. I pray that it be informative and that you help all those who attend to better recognize how they can show their love and support to those around them. Lord, I pray that you would be with all of our state leadership, especially this day. We pray for Governor Mike Keogh. Pray that you would help him to serve in his vocation, caring for all those who are under his charge. All this we pray in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite everyone forward who's helping out with our communion distribution. Invite all of us to reflect upon the questions on the screen as we prepare ourselves to receive Christ's body and blood this day.
God, I run into your arms.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Seated. Well, thank you for joining us in worship. I'd like to dismiss the students to Sunday school at this time. A couple announcements, though. So our Lent, we are going to be having a book fair out here. And so we're still having our Lenten services as far as the 11:30 and the 7 o'clock here in our worship center. But we're going to be having the 5:30 children's service actually in the gym. And our meal, our fellowship meal at 6 is going to be in the gym as well. So just be aware of that. In planning for that, then we're planning on buying some extra food. And so you're welcome to bring something, but there's less of a need than a standard week for that. So just be aware of that. And then we have a door offering for Guatemala today, as mentioned last week. Again, every year we start collecting right away because it's a big venture as far as supporting people in need in Guatemala with a whole new house. And so that's a year-long gathering of the blessings from God in excess. So please, if God so moves you, contribute to that. As well, there's a survey that's going to be going out. We want to hear from you. A poll about our security is going to be coming out soon. So we want to know what is important to you and encourage everyone to participate in that poll. And then lastly, there's an LWML Spring Rally. It says, all ladies, Spring Rally Tea Party on Saturday, March 21st, hosted by Concordia Lutheran Church, LWML in Kirkwood. Grab a friend and join the fun. We are coordinating shared rides to make getting there easy. So sign up at the Connection Center, or you can talk to Joni Doshley. Otherwise, thank you again so much for joining us today. I pray you go enjoy God's creation today. Go do it.